Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome once again to another edition of Wrestle Chat Radio's weekly wrap-up. Marcus Kane coming to you live from the SBTV studios right here in New York, and for the next hour, we will be discussing the world of professional wrestling at 347-215-8486, 347-215-8486. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, of course, as always, you can hit us up in our chat room, and we'll take your questions, your comments, and your opinions there. Very busy week this week, a lot to discuss. Before we get to all the news, I do want to mention that Inside Heat Sports and Collectibles is now open. Their brick-and-mortar store now open, 99 New Jersey 23 in Hamburg, New Jersey. Yours truly was down there last week. A great place to pick up sports collectibles. And on Saturday, July 24th, New York Jets legend Mark Gastineau will be there live as a meet and greet. And you can get more information by going to the Facebook page for Inside Heat Sports and Collectibles. We may be doing a live broadcast there one day. Who knows? That just might happen. But if you're not in the New Jersey, New York, or tri-state area, you can always hit them up on their Facebook group, and you can get information as well as buy merchandise right there. So Inside Heat Sports and Collectibles, Hamburg, New Jersey. Anyway, folks, let's talk about Jimmy Uso, because that's really what everybody wants to talk about, I think. That's what I've been flooded with all since this has been announced that he unfortunately has another DWI. And let's talk about what should happen and then what is going to happen, because it's two very different things. What should happen is very simple. You're given enough chances. You continue to drive drunk. It's a matter of time till you hurt yourself or someone else. You have to go. Now, that doesn't mean you have to be completely fired, but it means that you have to go. You have to either go get help. You have to go into some kind of a rehab and shake this alcohol addiction, and take responsibility for your actions, or you can't continue to work for the company. It's worse than people even think. And the reason it's worse is because by the luck of the draw, he hasn't hurt anybody. But we did hear he ran a red light. Now, if he ran a red light and he crashed into someone, let's say there's an old lady, a kid, a young guy in the car, and he's hurt or, God forbid, killed. Then what? You can't have it. You cannot have it. So what the WWE really needs to do, unfortunately, and I know it's going to hurt their angle, I get it, is they're going to have to, or should at least, tell Jimmy Uso, you need to take some time off. We're going to write you off television for a while. You need to go into a rehab. You need to get this straight. And when you come out, there can't be any more chances. It is what it is. Now, what they're going to do is pretty much nothing. And the reason they're going to do pretty much nothing is because we live in an age where everybody says, oh, everybody, you know, they should just pay for their treatments. And that's what you did with Jeff Hardy, right? How many treatments did you pay for him? Driving under the influence of drugs, driving under the influence of alcohol, in and out of drug rehabs, I don't know how many times. So how then do you justify, well, we did it for Jeff Hardy, but we're not going to do it for you. When technically speaking, that family is much more entrenched in WWE's everyday workings than Jeff Hardy ever was. So you're not going to tell someone who comes from a family that's been with the WWE since they were the WWWF, yeah, we're not going to do it for him. For Jeff Hardy, we did. That's not going to happen. not going to. And I know what the WWE is going to do. They're going to look at this and say it would be unfair to Roman Reigns. It would be unfair to Jey Uso. It would be unfair to the people who have big spots coming up with Jimmy. So we're going to take care of this. We're going to punish them. We're going to fine them. Or we're going to have him do a couple of matches where he gets his ass kicked. Or we're going to punish him in some way. But it's not going to be written off television until you get the problem solved. He needs the problem solved. He needs the problem solved. Now, you do this once, and you might say, poor judgment, young guy, famous, made a mistake, got in a car, a little bit tipsy. Bad judgment. This is like three times. At some point, you say this is becoming habitual behavior. And I'm sorry, you can't have it. I don't care who you are. I don't care if you're Brock Lesnar. I don't care if you're, you know, Sami Zayn. You can't have it. Just can't have it. And you've been very lucky so far that he hasn't hurt himself or someone else. But when does that luck run out? So we'll see what ends up happening, folks. But if you're holding your breath, waiting for the WWE to say, we can no longer justify Jimmy Uso's behavior, and so he's been released, or we're going to take him, write him off television and get him some help, I doubt it very highly. I very highly doubt it, because they didn't do that to Jeff Hardy. So what do you tell Afa and Sika and all those people, and of course Rikishi and all those? What do you tell everybody? What do you tell everybody whose family's been with you forever that we're not going to do that for him? Well, we did do it for Jeff Hardy, who, regardless of what you think of Jeff Hardy, has about zero importance in this company at this point. Can't do it, folks. You can't do it. So, unfortunately, the WWE is in a bad situation. They're caught between what they should do and what they've set precedent of what they normally do. And when you set that precedent, which I was against, if you remember on this show, I said, look, you've given Jeff Hardy enough chances. Jeff Hardy needs to solve his problem. You want to send him to rehab on your dime, I'm all for it. I think that's a nice gesture, but don't hire him back. That ship has sailed. You want to get the guy help because he's contributed to your federation. Great. More power to you. You want to do it just so you can bring him back. Yeah, I wouldn't bring him back. Jeff Hardy, for me, lost all sympathy when he got in the ring with Sting so high he couldn't stand up. And I was at the Mid-Hudson Civic Center in Poughkeepsie the night before that event, and he was high there too, and I pointed it out to everyone I was with. He was high as a kite there and stumbling around the ring. But he wasn't in there with anybody of any major importance, so people say, eh, eh. And it wasn't a televised show, so everybody was like, oh, whatever. But that's two nights in a row. Saturday night, he's stoned out of his mind in Poughkeepsie. And then Sunday, he does the ridiculous pay-per-view with Sting that's become legendary, where he couldn't even stand up. And then does it again in the WWE. And all the time, the WWE says, well, we're there for him. We're there for him. So how can you not be there for Jimmy Uso? This is what happens when you set a ridiculous precedent and you don't make people actually responsible for their actions. Now, I know there's going to be people out there saying, well, it's an addiction. It's an addiction and it requires help. I understand that. I understand that. But that doesn't mean that you have to rehire that person. That doesn't mean that you have to put up with that addiction. If your husband is a major drunk and he's spending all his money on booze and he's out late and he's cavorting and he's doing X, Y, and Z, you might say that's an addiction and an illness, but you don't have to put up with it. You don't have to stay in the marriage. You can say, I wish you well, and I wish you get the help, but it's not, I don't want it in my life, right? So why does the WWE have to? Why does the WWE have to say, oh, no, it's our obligation to pay for all of their expenses and keep them on? Because why? because you don't respect your job enough to, fly straight when you've been given a major role on a major, major, major television show? I disagree with it. I would have cut Jeff Hardy loose. Again, maybe I would have helped to pay for his rehab or whatever for, out of kindness. But I'm not hiring him anymore. And I would say the same thing about Jimmy Uso. I would say, I will definitely pay for your rehab. And, we'll definitely help you through. We're not using you. We can't. You've made it impossible. Mike, what's your thoughts on this and what the WWE should do as opposed to what they will do?
What they should do is, fire him, but they're not going to do that because, again, they know what's going to happen, really. It's a big deal. It's a huge deal, and there's a possibility, again, branches on the tree and all that stuff, but that's neither here nor there. You should fire him. Look, this isn't Ric Flair who everybody knows what Ric Flair was all about through the major part of his career, and he was a guy that did a bunch of drinking, right?
Yeah.
That was a big part of that gimmick, right? And Terry Taylor tells a story about Ric Flair that he and Ric Flair was supposed to do, and Ric Flair came out into the arena, after a night and a day of heavy drinking, and Taylor confronted him about it, and he said, "Just give me some time and some coffee." And he got him, and he did the match. He got him sober, and he did the match, and he did it had to be a 35-40 minute match, but he did it, Flair did it. But Flair at the time could handle it, Flair could handle it. This guy doesn't seem that he can handle it. And what's going to happen one day? They've gotten so lucky. Naomi travels with him, right? Travels with Jimmy, Jimmy. Of course she will. She's right. She's his husband. But they've gotten damn lucky that what happens one day if he's driving, she's sitting in the passenger, he gets in a wreck and she dies.
Well, see, that's the thing. And look, if Ric Flair ever wrestled drunk or wrestled with a hangover, he's wrong. But there's a big difference between saying Saturday night after the matches, I got so drunk and wasted at the hotel bar, and I woke up Sunday for the matinee show, and I'm a little out of sorts. That's a big difference between that and I got drunk and then got behind the wheel of a car, sped, and blew a stop sign or a red light. That's a big difference. I don't remember anybody saying Ric Flair got behind the wheel of a car inebriated or that he had a bunch of DWIs. So that's where the difference is in judgment. A lot of these wrestlers are hard drinkers. A lot of them, especially the old timers, man. You can hear stories about how they would go into the bar at the hotel and get so wasted they had to be carried to their room. But the key is carried to their room, where they just sleep it off or vomit or whatever they're going to do. But then the next day they wake up, maybe they have a hangover, they drink some coffee, and then, that's your fault. You want to lead that kind of lifestyle, go for it. But you're not hurting anybody except yourself. This is a problem because the guy's getting on the road on a regular basis, breaking the laws, the traffic laws, at the same time as being inebriated. And that is a recipe for, I'm going to kill some innocent person, if not myself. But Todd, it's very unlikely they're going to do more than just punish him with a fine or perhaps a little, punishment thing where he loses a few matches or something.
Oh, you're absolutely right. Like you said about Jey Uso or Jimmy Uso, one of those two. There's like you said with Jeff Hardy when he got in trouble with the law and everything. WWE offered him we have, and they burn back. And
that's where the problem is once you set that precedent, then how do you say I'm not going to do it for everybody? Especially somebody who's more connected to the WWE. So this is where the problem is. WWE set a bad precedent. Now they have to live with it. Let's skip over to AEW, who had their first live show. There was live people in the audience. Maybe they wish there weren't, since apparently a fan tried to attack MJF and Chris Jericho had to punch him. But, and by the way, a lot of people wrote to me and said, that was a work. That was not a work. That was not a work. That was a legit problem. And AEW is going to have to solve that problem. You can't have fans jumping a barricade. Now, whether that's inadequate security, building security, or whatever the hell it happens to be, you got to solve that problem. You can't have it. You also can't have wrestlers punching fans, but I understand. I understand where that comes from. You don't know what that fan has. Maybe he's got a knife. Maybe, you know, who knows what the hell he's going to do. I remember Blackjack, I believe it was Mulligan, but it could have been Lonzo, one of the Blackjacks, telling a story where a fan got in the ring and literally had a knife and cut him from his upper thigh all the way down to his calf until it was wide open. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of stitches. Could have bled out. So I understand Jericho's, however, security did have him when Jericho punched him, so make of that what you will. AEW can't have that. You can't have that. It's a bad look for your company. Get your security together and make sure fans don't jump guardrails. Period. I know, it happened to WWE too during the Hall of Fame ceremonies and all that. I get it. It happens. But you got to make it much, much, much less likely to happen. This was your first show back and it happened. Anyway, the ratings for AEW, and we should talk about the show a little bit because Andretti makes his debut, right? And then Aleister Black shows up. Now, this is a very interesting thing because people said to me, well, wait a minute. I thought Aleister Black had a 90-day no-compete. How can he possibly show up? Did the WWE waive that? No, the WWE didn't waive that. The WWE screwed up. If you're in NXT, you got a 30-day no-compete contract. If you're in WWE, you got a 90-day. When Aleister Black was moved from NXT to WWE, nobody redid that contract. Thus, it stayed at 30 days without their knowledge. When they found out, they called the wrong guy, apparently. They called Buddy Murphy and said to Buddy Murphy, apparently you only have a 30-day no-compete clause, and we want to move it to 90 days if you'd like, and we'll still pay you for those extra 60 days, to which Buddy Murphy said, no, I have a 90-day no-compete. I signed a 90-day no-compete. And he said, at the time, I thought they were just mistaken, but they had the wrong guy. It was Aleister Black. So Aleister Black took advantage of that. He's now calling himself Malachi Black. So let's talk a little about this and the weird film and all this. Aleister Black is a fantastic professional wrestler as far as what he does in the ring. His obsession with being this type of character is going to cost him his career. And the reason it is because he is absolutely miscast for this character. He is so miscast for this character that it would be like saying, well, okay, we have Shawn Michaels, fantastic wrestler, really good in the ring, great psychology, and we're going to cast him as this zombie guy who doesn't say anything and just comes down to the ring. Well, then you've wasted Shawn Michaels. You've wasted him because he doesn't fit that character, and you're wasting his talent being that character. Well, this is the same thing with Aleister Black. He has this obsession with being this dark, evil, satanic, occultish character. And nothing he does in the ring physically suits that character. Nothing. Those type of characters are best left for guys who don't do a lot of technical wrestling, don't do a lot of karate and stuff like that. They do power wrestling, or they just brawl, or they're monstrous, like a Braun Strowman, or, you know, even Karrion Kross, people like that. Aleister Black, with his kickboxing skills and his wrestling skills, it doesn't suit that persona. And it's like miscasting someone in a movie. You don't believe that character if they're miscast in a movie. Doesn't mean they're not good. You know, John Wayne was a very successful actor. A legend, an American legend. There are many people who say he's my favorite of all time, John Wayne. I can name you a million great John Wayne movies. I just watched him time and time again. He's brilliant. But when he played Genghis Khan, he sucked. Why did he suck? Because he's not meant to play that role. That's just totally miscasting somebody. You can't have John Wayne play Genghis Khan. You know, you just can't do it. You can't cast Steven Seagal and say, you're going to be Bill in Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. Well, then it's not going to work. He's miscasting himself. He may like this type of stuff. He may be into this type of stuff in real life. But nothing he does in the ring justifies that character. And because of that, I think it holds him back. Just be that kickboxer guy. Just be that legit badass kickboxer guy and forget this nonsense about escaping from mental hospitals and killing your doctors and having tattoos of occultish things and rising up out of coffins. Forget it. Just forget it. That would be like Justin Bieber saying, okay, I'm going to do this whole satanic thing where I rise from a coffin and I'm, you know, I got all kinds of druids leading me out onto stage, and then I'm going to sing some song about I miss my girlfriend. Well, it doesn't work. Slayer could get away with that, but Justin Bieber can't. Well, this is the same thing. Aleister Black ain't getting away with this type of stuff because nothing he does in the ring rings true for a character like that. Now, is he a big signing? Yeah, it's a huge signing. But I wish that the powers that be in AEW had said, look, you did that in NXT. You did that in WWE. Let's just go back to Tommy End. Let's just go back to your UK days and be that dude. That's the guy we want. Let's put this nonsense away. You're not Bray Wyatt. You're not Kane. You're not The Undertaker. Forget it. Just be Tommy End, and we can really run with this. But they won't, Mike, and I think it's going to hurt him in the long run.
Right. He's not even Kevin Sullivan, you know?
Right.
He's not that guy. He's not even Dexter Lumis, who could probably carry that off at 250 pounds or whatever Dexter Lumis is, because that's exactly what they – kind of exactly what they have doing with Dexter Lumis right now. He's just this nuts guy, you know, stalkerish nuts, kind of seems
right.
Like he's a devil worshiper, you know, that type of stuff, you know. So, yeah, he needs – that's a bigger man's gimmick. He needs to go back to being Tommy. And now, like you said, if it's this is a huge sign. And we basically said this is what should happen, right? This show said
right. –
that this would be a big signing for whomever, including AEW, and it is a big signing, but he just needs to put it back in the back of his head that, you know, this just get rid of it, you know. You know, and that's the thing.
AEW's one of these no-nonsense federations. They didn't want the woke in Matt Hardy. They tried that for a minute, and they didn't like it. Wouldn't it have been better if AEW just said, we want Tommy End, because then they would have almost been like, see, WWE ruined him with his stupid, wacky occult gimmick. We don't want that. We want the pure wrestling talent of him. No, you didn't do that. You said, let's steal WWE's idea for his gimmick. I don't care if it's Aleister Black's idea. WWE used it first. So let's take their idea and change the name. And let him run with it. No, bad idea. Bad idea. It doesn't help Aleister Black. He's just not again, you don't think of this dark, satanic, crazed person. Oh, I'm also an expert kickboxer and ground wrestler and jujitsu expert. Well, what are you talking about? That doesn't suit that type of character. So he's got his signals crossed. You can't make Chad Gable Stone Cold Steve Austin. Chad Gable is a far better wrestler as far as technically wrestling. Chad Gable's a million times better than Steve Austin. But you can't make Chad Gable Steve Austin because it wouldn't work. And you can't make Steve Austin Chad Gable because it wouldn't work. You need to be able to take a look at the person's ring style and say, this is what works for you. I see Aleister Black as a guy who you could really promote as a badass kickboxer, a serious athlete who's like an MMA kickboxing type guy who, you know, maybe he's a little left of center, but he's not all this, a cultish, weird, I broke out of a mental institution type guy. Well, I don't know, because see, that's the exact opposite of the skill set you have. If you are an expert martial artist, you have this zen about you. You have this calm and peace and whatever. Wasn't that his whole gimmick? Wasn't that Rob Van Dam's whole gimmick too? Well, if you study the martial arts, you become more, you know, in tune with nature and yourself. Well, no, well, then you shouldn't be a psychotic guy. It just doesn't fit. You may idolize guys like The Undertaker and Kane and all these Kevin Sullivan and all these dark images, but you got to take a look at yourself in the mirror and say, no, that's not what I do, though. I'm more of a kickboxer. I'm more of a jiu-jitsu guy. I got to run with that. So I don't know, Todd. I just think he'd have been better off coming there as Tommy End.
Well, you're absolutely right there, like you said. When he first came into WWE and NXT, he was too small to be like an Undertaker or a satanic type guy. He should have been like a jiu-jitsu or a karate dude or something. That would work much better on him.
Boxer or something, but nonetheless, it's a big signing. We'll see what the powers that be in AEW does with them. AEW came real close to 900,000 this week. They're like 879 or 81, right around in there. Real close to 900,000. In the meantime, Monday Night Raw got 1.4 million, one of their lowest ratings of all time. And they are in full panic mode. Stephanie McMahon reportedly is meeting with the networks. I don't know whether it's both Fox and USA or just USA. And I don't know whether this is an annual thing they do anyway or if this is an emergency meeting. But Stephanie McMahon reportedly is meeting with the networks to discuss ideas because they're in panic mode. They're saying, we don't want to pay you this much money for a show that's drawn 1.4 million. We're not going to get our advertising dollars out of this. And they're not. That's not what they signed up for. When they gave Raw and when Fox gave SmackDown these zillions of dollars, they thought they were going to get 2 million plus. And even SmackDown didn't do well. Even SmackDown was low. Or it wasn't that low. But it didn't break 2 million again. And the WWE is worried. And I, as a fan, am worried because when you hand it to the networks and say, well, what does the network have for ideas? Uh-oh. Because I have zero faith. You think I have zero faith in the WWE writers? You get a bunch of network executives together, and you can forget it. They will ruin the WWE with their ridiculous, stupid, we're not really wrestling fans ideas. You cannot possibly allow them to dictate what you're doing. I'm telling you, you cannot. If you're Stephanie McMahon, you got to go in that meeting and say, look, with all due respect, we want to make you happy. The best way for us to make you happy is to hire better writers or more creative staff or whatever, but it's not to let you tell us how to run the federation because, quite frankly, you've never ran a wrestling federation. You're not going to do any better than we are. So let us work it out. We're unhappy. You're unhappy. We get it. We'll fix it. But we can't fix it by giving you control, because you're just going to make it worse. And I'm telling you right now, they're going to make it worse. Their ideas will be, let's hold a reunion show and get some of the old-timers back, and then they'll all come down to the ring and they'll squash your young talent. And, please, let's not go there. Do not give the executives power over this show. I'd rather just go stay with the WWE writers. Can you believe I'm saying that? I would rather just stay with the WWE writers and to see what the network executives are going to come up with, because I know it's going to be garbage. I know it's going to be we're living just for the 1 week. None of these network writers are going to say, well, you know, we'll put up with climbing ratings over the next couple of months slowly, and let's work out elaborate storylines and gimmicks that take time to unfold. No, they're not going to do that. They're going to say, how do we get 2 million people next week? That's what they're going to do. And I'm telling you, it's going to ruin it. Mike, I think this is a very bad idea if they let the networks have any say, any major say over the storylines or their gimmicks.
Right. And the thing is they've basically said what needs to happen here on this show. I mean, yeah, it's a bad idea for the networks to get involved, and we saw that back. I mean, especially, you know, and it's a little bit different, but when the whole thing with standards and practices and all that stuff was going around, and I believe in the WCW and all that stuff, and they were trying to cater to those people and all that stuff, we saw what happened with that, right? So,
yeah.
And basically, what we said needs to happen is, first off, if what seems to be a good idea comes from a writer, do not nix it, Vince McMahon or Bruce Pritchard, whatever. Do not nix it. Two, if you want some better writers, well, hell, you had one, but you took the power away from him. You know, you had Paul Heyman, but you took the power away from him. So then three, go ahead and just nix the PG era.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, but you're right about the other one too. Look, here's what you got to do. You got to say, if a writer comes up with an idea, I don't want it passed to the next writer who changes it a little bit, and then the next writer who changes it a little bit, and then the next writer who changes it a little bit, and then it sucks, because then I don't know who to blame. If writer A comes up with an idea, leave it alone. That's writer's A idea. If it bombs, I know who to blame, writer A. Okay? If writer A, B, C, and D all worked on it in conjunction, and D just added one little tiny thing, D shouldn't take the blame. But we don't know who to blame if everybody's fingerprints are all over it. Leave it alone. As writers, maybe you give them certain things and say, I want you to work out something for the Street Profits. I want you to work out something for the Viking Raiders. I want you to work out something for whatever. That way we have something. If everybody's fingerprints are all over it, you don't know who to blame. Who's the bad writer? Who's the good writer? And Mike brings up the key here. The key is, if you're Stephanie McMahon, you walk into that meeting and you say, gentlemen, ladies, we are also dissatisfied and deeply disturbed by these ratings. If you want us to turn it around and turn it around quickly, unhandcuff us. Allow us to be professional wrestling again without having to worry about the snowflakes and the people who are going to call in and say, I'm slightly offended by this. So let me get this straight. You're slightly offended by Buddy Murphy being 30 and Aaliyah Mysterio being 19, but you're not at all offended by Satan. That doesn't even make any sense. It's a story. It's a show. It doesn't matter what they are. It doesn't matter how bad they are, because they're not really doing it. Unhandcuff us, and you'll see the ratings go up. That's what Stephanie McMahon should tell both USA and Fox. Unhandcuff us and watch what happens. Just do it for a month and a half, 2 months. if you don't see the ratings improve, you can go back to handcuffing us. Now, are you going to get some people that complain? Yes. Are you going to get a few sponsors who say, well, I don't know if I want to be associated with that? Then you know what you tell them as a network? Perhaps this isn't the right show for you. Perhaps we'll hook you up with, you know, a show that's more in line with your product. But what we want, if you want the big ratings, if you want more eyes on your product, this is our top show. That's what you got to tell these sponsors, these advertisers. Because all they care about is money, believe me. If you're sitting here telling me these guys care about morals, you're full of crap. Because they're the same people who are advertising on Game of Thrones where sisters and brothers are having sex, where people are being tortured, where babies are being murdered. But please, spare me. Oh, we got to advertise on Game of Thrones. That's, you know how many people watched that? Yeah, I do. I know how many people watched that. And you didn't give a damn what any of them did you? You didn't call up and say, I don't think it's right that you're having an incestuous relationship shown on screen. You didn't say that. You said, more power to you, brother. Keep going, because look how many people are seeing our ads. Well, this is the same thing. You're going to have to unhandcuff them. Mike, if they do that, then they got a chance, I think, of seeing better ratings.
Right. And I give you a good example of this, what's happening. The season one of Titans, which is a superhero drama that used to be on the DC network or whatever they call it, is now going to be on TNT. All right, season one of the shutdown. It's just like 14 or 15 episodes, whatever it is. But the thing is this was a darker, more violent, more adult comic book thing, right? And so,
right.
And so, obviously, TNT wanted that, or else they wouldn't have requested it to be put on there, right?
You're absolutely right, and this is what has to be pitched by the networks. The networks have to say, this is professional wrestling. This is not Major League Baseball. This is not soccer. This is not football or hockey. Professional wrestling. It is a soap opera. It's going to have adult themes, adult storylines, adult angles. That's the way it is. If you don't like that, don't advertise on it, but we're not going to blow smoke up your ass and tell you it's a sporting event. It's not a sporting event. Derek in the chat room is saying, well, how do their other shows do? They're non-sports related shows on Fox or USA. I don't know about Fox, but USA has some shows that, you know, look, they have, NCIS and all these other shows that show serial killers and all kinds of things, and nobody says, well, that's very offensive. I don't think you should show that. Well, nobody says that. You see, this is why trying to make professional wrestling a sport is killing professional wrestling, because it's not a sport, and when you advertise it as one, these airheads that want their product pitched think that they are actually going to be advertised during a sporting event, and then they say, well, this is a little controversial, and I don't know. Well, because you've misrepresented yourself. You've misrepresented yourself. You can't be Marilyn Manson and say, well, would you like to sponsor our tour? We're doing a tour of outdoor stadiums in sort of a, smaller outdoor stadiums in a very comfortable music in the park sort of feel. And all the artsy-fartsy people say, oh, I'd like to advertise my wine, and I'd like to advertise our $5 a batch cookies and things. And then it's Marilyn Manson. And they're like, what the fuck? We didn't know what it was. You said afternoon in the park, music. See, that's what's happening here. A lot of these advertisers, they don't know what wrestling is. They're just like, whatever, you're getting good ratings, it's a sporting event, great. Then they tune in and they see something that, I don't know if I like that. Well, too bad. You're misrepresenting your product. You tell them the truth. This is a TV show. This has more in common with Game of Thrones than it does Major League Baseball. Okay? So if you want a real legit sporting event, then you can advertise on our other sporting event shows. However, if you want these ratings, you want your product seen by this many eyes for this price, this is a good value for you. And then you allow the sponsors to make up their own minds whether that's what they want their product associated with. I can understand. If I'm selling, you know, religious tapes, I probably don't want to advertise on the WWE. Listen to the Bible on CD. Well, then, you know, you're not going to reach that many people. If I'm selling, you know, high-end wines, or I think you can't even advertise wine, I guess, but if I'm selling some kind of a, you know, highbrow whatever, classical music collection, probably don't want to advertise on WWE. But you know who your market is. Jesus, just tell them the truth. It's not a sporting event. Knock it off with that crap already. You're killing wrestling. Killing wrestling. By pushing it down our throats, it is a sport. It is a sport. And even the people involved in it. I like that idea that we're considered a sport. Well, then you don't know shit from applesauce because you're not a sport. And as long as you guys in all your indie schools are being told you're a sport, you're being lied to and you're being misinformed and it's hurting your careers. Wrestling's returning to the Mid-Hudson Civic Center. And guess who's there? Sammy Guevara, Eddie Kingston, lots of really good quality wrestlers. Guess who's front and center on the poster to sell tickets? Enzo Amore. Why do you think that is? Why do you think that is? If you don't believe me, just go check it. Go type in wrestling Mid-Hudson Civic Center, Poughkeepsie. Come see the poster. Northeast Wrestling. Enzo Amore, front and center. Everybody else, little tiny pictures. Him, huge picture, like he's Hulk Hogan. Think he's a better wrestler than anybody on that card? No. But he's a stronger personality. He's the guy who's going to sell the tickets because it's not a sport. Get it through your head, it's not a sport. It's a live-action Rocky movie or Steven Seagal movie. That's all it is. It's not rocket science. Crazy. It's killing the sport, the business, trying to make it a sport. Killing it, destroying it. Because I can just see Vince McMahon and company saying, let's do this. Oh, we better not do that. That'll raise some eyebrows, and that shouldn't be good. Can you imagine if other controversial things did that? Can you imagine if some of these death metal groups or these heavy metal groups said, let's do this on stage. Oh, we better not do that on stage. That might offend somebody. Can you imagine if Game of Thrones writers are saying, let's do, oh, no, we better not do that. That might offend somebody. Then your show's going to suck. Your show is going to suck. You got to run the risk of offending people. And the people who are offended drop off. They don't watch it anymore. Too bad. You're going to get a whole bunch of people who do. It's time to lose the snowflakes out of professional wrestling. You don't like it, then don't freaking watch it. I think it's terrible they showed this. Then you're too sensitive to watch this product. You're just too sensitive. I think it's terrible that I went to a movie and somebody was murdered in cold blood. Well, then why'd you go see the movie? I think it's terrible that Jason kills people randomly in Friday the 13th. That's terrible. That's promoting serial killing. Then why are you seeing the movie? It's just not for you. Don't go see it. Go see some Disney film. I think the Fast and Furious shouldn't drive like that. It promotes bad driving on the roads. Then don't go see it. But don't insist that it change. Because then if it changes, it's not what you like to begin with. I don't understand why fans want to kill what they say they like. I don't understand it. And by the way, for all the fans who wrote me and said, oh, you're wrong about Kenny Omega. He's a big draw. He is? Well, I don't know. He was on Impact Wrestling and they drew 33,000 views. 33,000. That was their ratings for the big Kenny Omega match, huh? 33,000. Reruns of the Andy Griffith Show draw more than that. So don't sit here and tell me he's such a big draw. He's not. Enzo Amore will draw more people than Kenny Omega. You know why? Because it's not a sport. It is a show. That's why. So I don't know what Stephanie McMahon told the companies. I don't know. But I know this. I told you and I warned you that if the ratings get much lower, there's going to be people on the ledge in WWE saying, I don't know what we're going to do because we're getting close to being canceled. You do realize that Fox has a provision saying if your ratings stay below a certain amount for more than a couple of weeks, we have the right to move you to FS1. We have the right to move your show to FS1 that a lot less people get. So WWE's panicking big time even on SmackDown because they have to keep their ratings above 2 million. And even with the Roman Reigns angle, their ratings is not above 2 million. Why is that? Because nobody else is there. And after a while, it doesn't make any difference how much you like the Roman Reigns angle. You say, okay, that's cool, but I mean, there's just not enough other stuff. A good soap opera, as Derek in the chat room suggesting, it is more of a soap opera. That's what wrestling is. Wrestling's a soap opera. A good soap opera has many different characters doing different things where you're interested in different storylines, and you may not be interested in one particular thing, but more things than not you are. It's not just the main characters. There's other little side plots that you're interested in. We don't have that. We don't have it. So this is what we get. I mean, Mike, I don't know. Aside from just unhandcuffing them, is there any other ideas you think could make the ratings turn around?
I don't know. I mean, look, here's the thing with Fox. Fox has always been an edgier network, right? You know, since the beginning, since the Married with Children and Tracy Ullman and the Simpsons and all that stuff, it's been an edgier network. So they really shouldn't have to make the case of we want to be more edgier toward Fox. Fox should say, if you want to be more edgier, hey, go ahead. Now, again, if Marcus comes to Bruce Pritchard and if Marcus has written a very elaborate, very dark, very edgy thing, and he comes to Bruce Pritchard and says, I want to take this to Vince, and Vince says, and Pritchard says no, then it's not Vince's fault. It's Bruce Pritchard's fault, you know.
Absolutely correct. Derek in the chat room is saying, how many people are going to be offended tonight because Jimmy Uso's on TV? That's a fair point. That's a fair point. You're more offended that Buddy Murphy, who isn't even really going out with Aaliyah Mysterio, is being portrayed as going out with Aaliyah Mysterio, but you're not offended that Jimmy Uso, who really did drive drunk and could have killed somebody, is being used on television. See, this is what's the problem with wrestling fans. There's too many people who, unfortunately, just want to complain about shit. I want wrestling to be great, so I'm trying very hard to elaborate some thoughts on how they got to get back to where they were. Where other people are just trying to shoot it down. Other people are just trying to shoot it down. 5 minutes before I came on the air, I was on a wrestling site, and some fan had said, Keith Lee had tweeted that better things are coming and don't lose faith in me or whatever. And some guy had basically written, he's overrated, and what's all the secrecy? Just say what's going on or shut up. And some guy wrote back and said, it's not secrecy, it's privacy. If he has a private matter, he's not going to air it. And this guy writes back, who are you to tell me I'm mistaken? Well, who are you to tell Keith Lee what he's supposed to reveal? And that's exactly what I wrote to the guy. So let me get this straight. You make a statement, and when somebody questions that statement and says, I think you're mistaken, you get offended and say, who are you to tell me I'm mistaken. Well, who are you to tell Keith Lee what he should or should not reveal? See, this is the problem with fans. You've got a lot of these fans who aren't really fans. They're just snowflake complainers who, oh, wrestling's kind of cool this year, like fidget spinners and skateboards. So I think I'll just be a fan, but I'll just sit around and complain and find things to say. I don't like this, and so-and-so's overrated. If you honestly think that Keith Lee is overrated, you know zero about the business. Zero about the business. Now, you could say, I don't like him. You could say, well, I don't like Kenny Omega. I know he's a good athlete. I don't think he's overrated. I think he's overhyped. There's a difference. He's a very, very good athlete. I don't think he's a great professional wrestler because I'm not interested in him. If he was a great professional wrestler, he should capture my interest with his character. He doesn't. Just like, you know, Dean Malenko was a great wrestler. He didn't capture my interest with his character. A great wrestler captures your interest with their character because that's what they do. They're entertainers. They're not just athletes. They're entertainers. I always use the music equivalent. You can get some guy who looks like your dad to come out on stage and wail on a guitar. But if he looks like your dad and he just sits on a stool and wails on the guitar, you might say, hey, he's pretty good. But if some long-haired 21-year-old dude comes out there and dances all around and does it, you're like, yeah, he's fucking awesome. Why? Because he entertained you. That's why. He didn't just sit there. It wasn't just his talent. It was his whole presentation. See, that's what a lot of wrestling fans or people who call themselves fans miss. It's about the whole presentation. It's not just about your talent. That would be damn easy. If it was just about talent, then you could say, okay, this guy's an athlete, this guy isn't, this guy can't do shit, this guy can. It's not about that, because oftentimes the guys with the talent have no presentation. They don't have that much interest in them because they worked so hard on the physical aspect that they forgot to work on the entertainment aspect. And then you have the other side where you say, well, this guy's very, very entertaining, but he can't wrestle. He never puts on a good match. He talks a good game, but then he gets in there and it's a boring match. Fair enough. There's got to be a happy medium. Great professional wrestlers have that happy medium. But if you tell me I got to pick one, I'll pick the guy that's entertaining over the guy who's a great athlete, because I know the guy that entertaining is going to draw people. Simple as that. So, I mean, we'll see. We'll see what happens tonight. Tonight should tell us a lot about what the WWE intends to do. Jimmy Uso's front and center. And at the end of the night, it's like nothing ever happened. They intend to do nothing. If they somehow write him off television with someone waylaid him or something happened or he says, I quit or something, you know, some kind of excuse for him to be gone for a while, then the WWE's probably sent him to rehab or suspended him. This will be a very important aspect of it and what the WWE intends to do. Fans are returning very soon to WWE. I think it's the 23rd that the fans are coming back for WWE. And they may get a damn big shock because they may have half-empty arenas. And for a while, they can blame it on, well, you know, people are still worried about COVID. They're still not going out and in droves. But eventually, that's going to dry up because there are baseball stadiums filled with people, soccer stadiums filled with people. And pretty soon, you're not going to be able to hang your hat on that excuse anymore, Mike, and you're going to have to face the facts that you're just not appealing to that many people right now.
And frankly, if you go back and you watch the AEW show from this week, and they weren't bashful about showing the crowd.
Right.
All right? They weren't bashful. So that tells me that particular, wherever that was, I guess it was in Texas, I don't know, wherever that was, that particular building was just about full or close to it, you know? If they're doing these shows and they're not bashful about showing the crowd, then they're back, you know? And that's going to be the deal. If the WWE goes and does their first live show in a few weeks, and they're not bashful about showing the crowd, and they show the crowd, and you look at it, and there are very few empty seats there, then you know everything's good.
I think they'll give away tickets if they have to. They're not going to have a half-empty building. But I will say this. For all the people that follow AEW and were saying AEW took the pandemic so much more seriously, and they were much more, politically correct. I don't know. Cody Rhodes was walking around the ring shaking hands with everybody. Did you see Cody Rhodes walking around the ring shaking hands with all the fans? I thought that was a no-no. I thought that was a big, oh, you can't do that. It's almost like everybody just said, okay, the whole thing is garbage. We'll forget it. We're not listening anymore. Because if you took it seriously, I wouldn't think you'd be shaking hands with fans. I don't know. I'd just call me crazy, but I thought that's a little weird. For a company that says, I'm taking it so seriously, we're doing X, Y, and Z to make sure. There's Cody Rhodes shaking hands with everybody ringside. It's weird. Now, once again, AEW fans are almost never WWE fans and vice versa. WWE fans are all over AEW and AEW is all over WWE, and I don't get it. There's room for both styles. There's room for all styles of wrestling. You can watch a lucha show. You can watch AEW. You can watch New Japan. You can watch WWE. There's hardcore federations that still exist, like CZW and things. There's many forms of professional wrestling. You may prefer one over the other. But to say, well, anybody who watches this is garbage, and anybody who thinks that's good is garbage, that's just dumb. That's just plain dumb, and it shows an ignorance. I prefer WWE over AEW, but I'm not crapping on AEW. AEW's done some great things. Their working up of Hangman Page and Kenny Omega has been very, very good. You see how long they progressed this? You see how long they've sort of teased this, and now it's starting to come into the fruition. And you're starting to see the fans realize, oh, yeah, it's come full circle now. Took a long time. And you gradually, it's almost like the match you didn't realize you wanted to see again until, oh, I see where they're going with this. Very good idea. Very good long-term booking, because I believe they had that booked a long time ago. So there's a lot of good in AEW. They had a lot of great athletes. Now, you can criticize them and say, oh, they shit on the WWE and then 65% of their roster is WWE. That's true. That's very true. Or you can shit on WWE and say, you know, Scooby-Doo has better writers. That's true, too. But I think it's just kind of dumb, Todd, to, you know, have fans against each other because they like a certain federation above another one.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said about AEW, I think it was that event they had this past Wednesday. I think it was in Miami, Florida. That's where your Mike was talking about.
Yep, Miami, Florida. You're right, Mike. I mean, you can enjoy both shows for what they are. If you love wrestling, the more the better, right?
Yeah. I mean, think about it, Marcus. Look, I still think they need a few more women in their women's division as AEW, but that can be easily corrected, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that can be easily. I mean, hell, it would even help out if they would. I know they're excellent WWE people, but it would even help out if they could get the Iconics or whatever they're calling themselves, because they're personalities.
I agree with you. Yeah, that's what's missing from AEW is a little more. We didn't see much of the women even on the last week's show. They do need some more women on their roster that's going to be strictly theirs. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Wrestle Chat Radio is a Savage Blade production.